Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL. Halfway through the work week, and it's time for us to talk some Browns. We are going to head to the hotline to speak with Fox 8's very own John Telich on our Budweiser's From the Sidelines segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. John, a pleasure to have you on as always, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing great, and a top of the midweek to you, Mr. Bull.
Well, I appreciate that, and of course, we've got a lot to talk about. Just about a week into training camp for the Cleveland Browns, things are really beginning to pick up right now. But now that we are just about a week in, which areas in particular do you think the Browns really need to do the most amount of work on? Which areas need the most amount of improvement?
Well, I would say, first and foremost, how Freddie has been running his camp has been spectacular. And a lot of people kind of nitpick at times with rookie coaches and it should be done this way or a certain way. I would just have to say, by all accounts, the way he's running his camp has been very, very good. I like his level of discipline. I like what he did the other day when there was a brush-up between two guys. Farrell Brown was one of the combatants in this, the kid from Brush High School, and he had everybody running sprints mid-practice. I think that's cool. I don't, everybody's got their own way of kind of keeping things in gear, but I like what he does as far as that is concerned. And as far as weaknesses, I think early on in camp, we saw a lot of spectacular individual stuff that receivers were doing, like OBJ on the first day with those, first couple of catches that he made, sideline routes and bobbling the ball and coming down with it. That was fantastic to see, but the defense really, in the first few days, was pretty established that it's going to be a markedly better unit than you saw a year ago. And so I guess if you're to say weaknesses, you'd say how well can this offense with so many outstanding individual talents, how can it match up with the defense? I think it started to see it get its legs underneath it. A couple of days ago, Bull, I think it was on a two-minute drill, they had in that practice, and I think it was the Sunday practice, and they moved down the field pretty efficiently. I think Baker then hit Landry with a scoring pass on the two-minute drill, and I think the confidence in the offense started to come and to show a little bit more. So by all accounts, I think for five practices and a little bit of change here as we talk midweek for Freddie, he's off to a rip-roaring start unofficially as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Not too bad, actually.
Not too bad at all. And I want to go back a couple of years here with this next question, because very clearly, Browns training camp will always draw a great deal of attention. But this year, there's no doubt about it. It's definitely different. The expectations are different. And I think the hype surrounding the team is at a place where it hasn't been in many, many years. Now, I want to go back a couple of years, as I mentioned, because, there was a point in time a few years back where you tried to catch up with Jimmy Haslam after a Browns loss. And those were pretty common back then. He kind of brushed you off, and he was trying to avoid not only you, he was trying to avoid all media members because things really weren't going well. We've come a long ways between now and then. When do you think things officially changed and started going in the right direction?
Well, I think when I approached Jimmy, this would have been the season that ultimately was the last season for Mike Pettine. So I think we're looking at, is that 15? My years all mixed up. I believe that was 2015. And so I approached him, and as you mentioned, he kind of blew me off. And then I just wanted some answers as to, there was no public statement from him or from the family or anyone about the state of the Cleveland Browns football team. And I think fans deserved answers, and he wasn't forthcoming when I tried to get him. Later that year, at the end of the year, he fired Mike Pettine. And we thought that he turned the corner at that point, but he really didn't. He hired Sashi, and the complete teardown, the DIY teardown, do-it-yourself home project began. But we really didn't see the fruits of any of that stuff until he made the move 2 years later to fire Sashi and hire John Dorsey. And, Bull, that's when it changed. I think absolutely getting Sashi out of the building and bringing in John Dorsey, that was the change.
Again, you're dialed into the Budweiser's From the Sidelines segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. We're being joined here by Fox 8's very own John Telich. And, you know, these are exciting times, no question about that. I think there is a little bit of apprehension, no doubt about that, because Browns fans, well, I think they've been conditioned over the years to get excited, but there's always that cautious optimism. You know, we know the big stars, no doubt about it. It's Odell Beckham Jr., it's Baker Mayfield, but based on what you've seen so far and what you've heard so far in camp, are there any under-the-radar guys that you're excited about?
Well, I think a lot of people might not construe this name I'm going to give out as an under-the-radar guy because he's been mentioned in a few of the recaps of what's been going on in practices so far in this camp, and that would be Sione Takitaki. And the reason why he's been mentioned is there are people who have believed that he's been a little too over-exuberant as to how he's treated some of the guys on the offensive side of the football. He's the young backer, and how he's treated some of the other guys on the side of the offensive side of the football has been a cause for some kind of concern. But when I say under the radar, he's an unproven NFL player. He's a draft pick of the Cleveland Browns. He hasn't really shown anything in any games that we're just talking about practice. But I think in the team's quest to upgrade the linebacker position and to have a little bit more, let's just say, maybe forceful play at that position, I think he's a candidate that you got to keep an eye on more and more as practice goes along. A guy that I want to talk about, too, as well, is in terms of what they're obviously not happy with early on in camp, is the kicker that they picked up. The draft pick, Austin Seibert, he has not performed well as of late. There's been only so many practices so far, and I guess you could say small sample size. But I think that's something that you would, you know, have to say the edge right now goes to the incumbent, as it were, in Greg Joseph. But so, yeah, keep an eye on Sione Takitaki. He's talked about because of some reasons that, you know, a lot of the fans would say, he's been a little bit too crazy going after some of the offensive side of the ball players. But I'm going to continue to watch that guy and just see how he moves along. Greedy Williams, as advertised, you saw he made some big plays picking off Baker over the weekend. He also getting a little bit too over exuberant after he makes a big play and throwing the ball, you know, wildly after he came down with it. And again, a nice little talking to from Freddie Kitchens on that. So Takitaki, Greedy Williams, and right now the Duke Johnson situation seems to be bull. You know, there's been a couple of visits from his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. The team has stated that they like what Duke brings to the team. And I would think unless they're, and this hasn't changed really in a week, unless they're incredibly blown away by someone, Duke Johnson is going to remain a member of the Cleveland Browns.
You mentioned the kicking game, and I know that it's still very, very early here, but are you concerned at all about the kicking game at this point? Do you think it's too early to worry, or is there a legitimate reason for concern at this point?
Well, I don't know if you have any red flags that come up here as we, you know, talk on the last day of the month of July, and you haven't even gotten into August yet. But, again, you've drafted a kicker to put some pressure on the incumbent. And so far, it's, you know, the results have been spotty, small sample sizes, as I mentioned. So, you know, there's a little bit of concern, I would say, but nothing, you know, we're going to get some more definitive answers as they go through camp and obviously as they go through the exhibition schedule until they, in their own minds, realize, you know, they want to go with one or the other of those two guys. And, you know, it's kind of crazy to just sit back and say because they drafted Seibert, then he has a leg up, no pun intended. Because, yeah, they did draft him. That's well documented. But I don't think it matters how a guy comes into your facility. If he's going to be able to do the job and performs like that, then by all means, you give him the opportunity to be the everyday kicker. But if Austin Seibert were a undrafted free agent and he were as inconsistent early on in camp, you probably wouldn't be talking about him as much, but still the result would be the same. of the two kickers, this guy's been inconsistent so far. So let's see if he can right that ship, as it were, and become better at his craft and win that position. They're not going to give it to him. Doesn't matter where he was drafted. They're not going to give him that job. Because, as you know, Bull, I mean, I think we mentioned this last week, they kick a little bit better early in that season, and you know, they're probably winning more games than they lose, and that's pretty much a fact.
Speaking of early on in seasons, teased this just a little bit last week, but you mentioned how the early season schedule could get really interesting and maybe even a little bit dicey for the Browns. And anytime you go into a season like this one with great expectations, how you start certainly means a lot. So the early season schedule certainly is going to be challenging for the Browns. How challenging do you think this is going to be?
Well, I'll tell you what, Bull, I think if you can open the season with a win, which we know is pretty much like chasing Bigfoot for this Cleveland Browns football team, they just haven't been able to really do it, and it hasn't even seemed to be part of their DNA. If you can get a win on that first one, then I think you set yourself up for parts of that early schedule with the, you know, going from a Monday night to a Sunday night affair. I think you can set yourself up in a pretty good way. And there was one piece of news over this past week that was reported all around the National Football League. In fact, even reacted to by Myles Garrett of the Browns. I think you know where I'm going with this. The Tennessee Titans' very outstanding tackle, Taylor Lewan, announced on his social media that he's going to be serving a 4-game suspension. That's big news for the Browns. I mean, obviously, Myles Garrett can get sacks against the best tackles in football, and he can get sacks against the worst tackles in football. He just can get sacks. But if Taylor Lewan's not in that equation on opening day, 1 p.m. Sunday on September the 8th or the 9th, I don't know my dates exactly here, but on that day, that opens things up much nicer for the Browns just to get after the quarterback, to get after Marcus. And so initially, that greases the skids in a good way, a favorable way for the Browns. And I think when you haven't won hardly at all in the new era on Sundays, on the first Sunday of the year, you'll take any edge that you can get, right?
Oh, there's no question about that, because that effectively, and no, we don't want to put too much emphasis on the opener, but it drastically changes the outlook. If you win the opener, you're doing something that's it's only been done, what, once or twice since the team came back into the league since 99?
Yes, and so a lot of what they do early in the season is predicated on just getting off to a good start. And this, I'm not going to make a bold prediction here, but 1 p.m. on Sunday, opening weekend at First Energy Stadium, with so much hype over this team, with a quarterback coming into his second year, his first full year as the leader of the offense, and with a third-year defensive lineman who's a Pro Bowler, and a lot of people say if he has a phenomenal season, could be in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year, to be mentioned nowadays the way J.J. Watt used to be, mentioned when he was certainly in his prime before injuries and what have you, then you need to take advantage of that. So that's the opportunity. 1 o'clock on Sunday, that first weekend, with the Titans in town and with a guy like Taylor Lewan being more than likely not able to play, that's a great advantage, and it's something you have to take advantage of.
Absolutely, and certainly something to watch for as we get closer to week one. Well, John, right. When we do this again next week, we're only going to be a day away from the very first preseason game, and not that we want to make a big deal out of preseason games, but the first preseason game for this team, it'll certainly be a little bit bigger than years past, won't it?
I think it will, and I think it's great because, they've had 5-plus practice. You know, having an opportunity just to get those 5 practices in and get your momentum underneath you, that's great. But, you're just going against each other, and now when you get into the scenario where you're playing against another team, you can't speak enough about what that can do for not just guys that are fringe players on the roster or guys trying to win spots, but, there'll be an opportunity for the first units to play enough to get a taste of that. But then, of course, you're going to be very cautious about not having anybody getting hurt.
Yeah, No question about it. Well, John, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you so much for joining
us.
You got it,
buddy.
And we look forward to doing it again next week.
Okay, we'll talk to you then, buddy.
Thank you, John. Again, that's Fox 8's very own John Telich joining us here on the Budweiser's From the Sidelines segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will return after this here on AM 930 WEOL.